Thank you. I think that we'll have some visuals, and let me express appreciation to Ali for kind of taking the lead. You know, when you're old and electronically and technologically inept, you have to get help wherever you can. A couple of introductory things. I would like to talk about Mars and the NASA Mars 2020 mission. But a couple of preliminary observations. Space exploration is complex, and it's very much incremental. There is no handbook. We've got to figure it out. Mankind and engineers have figured out as they go. It's anything so complex requires that you just do things and learn step by step, mission upon mission to test and see what works and adapt where it doesn't. I am reminded as we celebrated the 50th anniversary of successful Apollo 11 mission, put mankind on the moon for the first time, that it was preceded by 10 previous missions from which they then were able to learn and adapt and finally be successful. I'm hearing quite a bit of noise. I suppose mute. What do you think?
Yeah, if you're not speaking, will you please make sure to check your mute and mute yourself? We get a lot of feedback.
There you go. Thank you very much. So space exploration is very much incremental. And the new Mars initiative, which has been underway for some period of time, is very much in that process. We are having mission after mission, well thought through, well planned, long planned, but they are exploratory in nature and they're designed to lay the groundwork for future missions and future successes. And the second thing was mentioned by Reese is that Mars is very, very bright in the night sky these days. It's almost breathtaking to see it, but that has significance, and that means that Mars orbit and Earth's orbit have now come together and presented proximity. They are very close. That's why Mars looks so bright, is it's closer than it usually is. And that has created then a window long understood by the folks that are in the space business that this would be a really good time to go to Mars because you can take the short route. And so that window, well known, and space people have taken advantage of that. There are at this moment three space vehicles on their way to Mars, the short route. There's one, the United Arab Emirates has an orbiter on its way. China has an orbiter and a lander and a rover. And the United States has its Mars 2020 mission, which we're going to talk about today. Let's move to the next slide, if we may. And we'll talk a little about the mission. Here's kind of the short version. The operator on this particular mission is the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, JPL, on the campus of Caltech. The objectives are to learn a lot of things, to gather data, and basically test out technologies and methods, and to prepare for future Mars missions. The launch occurred this last summer, July 30, 2020. Unlike many things that have occurred in 2020, this one came off okay. It launched successfully. And so this space vehicle is approximately halfway toward its intended destination of Mars. It is scheduled to land, set down on the Jezero crater, which was selected because of its possible, maybe a best site where we could learn of possible previous life on Mars. It's set down on February 18, 2021. We'll talk about that a little later. The duration of the mission, the active duration, is 1 year, one Martian year, which equates to just a little under two Earth years. That's 687 days. The primary vehicles that are involved, the equipment involved, is the rover Perseverance that was pictured in the first slide. It's a space vehicle, a rover. It's patterned somewhat after its predecessor and highly successful Curiosity that's been running around the surface of Mars for some period of time. And this adds a new vehicle, first time ever, a helicopter named Ingenuity. Let's move on to the next slide, if we may. Oh, my word. There am I, pictured with two of my grandchildren. I should mention that they are two of only 46. When you have a later in life marriage that combines two families, you can have 46 grandchildren who present you with 24 great-grandchildren. But these are two that I am acquainted with someone who is an educator, and she had a student she became very close to who became a NASA engineer working at JPL. And I was able to finagle a visit. Let's move to the next slide, if we may, to Johnson, to JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, last summer. So July of 2019, I spent a day there and was able to go through most of their facilities. But among them was an opportunity to be just like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. I had an opportunity to get up close and personal with some of these pictured Oompa Loompas that, if you'll go ahead and move to the next slide, these workmen were working actively, a whole team of them, in this enormous clean room. And that which is pictured is the actual rover, Perseverance. It's mostly built up there, but it took about another year for them to complete construction of this, and then it was transported down to Cape Canaveral, put on top of a Saturn V rocket, and off it went on its journey to Mars, halfway approximately there. To any of you who may have witnessed the goings-on in a green room, or I mean in a clean room, it's incredible. Obviously highly technical, very skilled technicians. The thing that I found most fascinating about this is, you know, they call it a clean room for a very good reason. It's clean of everything, dust and magnetic contaminants. These workmen, as they went, if they had to move away from their work site, they had to disconnect their static line and move it over and connect it again to avoid any electrical shock or anything that would damage the highly sensitive and highly technical electronics of this unique space vehicle. So that was just a fun personal experience, and it was fun to then imagine that what I had witnessed them building is now halfway on its way to Mars. Let's move on to perhaps the next video. This is a video, and we don't think we can play it. Is that, Duke, do you think that's true, or are we going to try?
They don't usually play very well, but I think Duke's going to put a link in the chat. I'll try it, and we'll see what happens.
Let's just give it a second, because we can. What do you think?
The link is in the chat, if that's something that you'd like to just click on and open in another window for your browser.
Is the most complicated, most sophisticated thing that we know how to build. This is a system that allows us to
store
samples of rocky material on the surface of Mars, carefully sealed in very sterile, clean vessels for eventual return to Earth. We've been working on the sampling and caching system for 7 years, and that's because it's a tough job.
We're testing the equipment to make sure that it's going to work when we get to Mars. It has to function on its own. We have to think of all eventual possibilities and try them here first, and then if they don't work, change it now, because we can't make any changes later.
To drill into the rock on Mars, pull out intact core samples, seal them hermetically, and to be all done autonomously by a robot hanging off the end of a rope on the surface of Mars has been a challenge. We've got actually 3 robots necessary to do the sample and caching system. Our robotic arm out on the front of the rover, that takes our drill, pushes it against the surface, and allows us to take core samples. Then we put that core sample in the bit carousel, the second robot, that takes that from the robot arm and puts it down inside our adaptive caching system. This is the part of the sample and caching system inside the rover. We've got a little tiny robot, a special robot arm called the Shaw, the sample handling arm. It takes the samples out of the carousel and moves them through volume assessment, image taking, and eventually to sealing, and then replaces the cylinder containing the sample in a storage all on its own in the matter of a few hours. We have designs on bringing them back in a decade. Mars has been at the fore of our consciousness about the questions of life. Could life exist? There's neighbors. I think we have a lot to learn, life or no life, about the evolution of our solar system, about our planet, by looking in depth at rocks brought back from Mars.
Well, that worked out actually adequately. Thank you. So let me just kind of summarize quickly what we just saw, and that is this rover is powered by 11 pounds of plutonium dioxide, which generates some heat, which generates electricity. It can be stored in onboard batteries, and it powers this roughly 2-ton or 1-ton vehicle. And it's very sophisticated devices, including a coring device that drill is on the end of this articulated robotic arm, which is about 7 feet long. And it's powerful enough to core through rock. And the intention is to recover 20 to 30 core samples of rock and Martian soil, which will not be returned immediately, but is going to be placed in containers and cached on the surface of Mars. And they're planning to return those to Earth for sophisticated scientific study, probably within a decade. But the objective of that will be to analyze that for signs of former life. And there are other scientific experiments going on and devices. They're going to try to create oxygen from the atmospheric carbon dioxide on Mars, which has implications certainly for a future manned adventure on Mars. And they're also just going to explore very carefully the surface to plan for future missions of all sorts. Just very quickly, and I don't think we'll want to see the video on this, but what is unique is on the robot has been placed a Mars helicopter called Ingenuity. There's a nice picture of it. As you might imagine, it is a very unique creature, first of its kind, technology, very advanced, very difficult to sustain a flight on an atmosphere as thin as can be found on Mars. But this is powerful enough, and those rotors will rotate sufficiently that they, I believe, they can move this thing along and make observations. It plans to fly at least 5 missions. They'll last probably 3 minutes each, but they can gather a lot of data on that. This will range as much as a half a mile around the crater. These are the primary things that make up the current Mars 2020 expedition. I should, in closing, just let you know that you might mark on your calendars February 18, 2021, at 2000 hours UTC. That in my day, that used to be Greenwich Mean Time, now Coordinated Universal Time or Universal Coordinated Time or Zulu Time, and I don't know where that is from us, but we should be very excited to see the next step, which would be a successful landing and deployment of these two particular devices. Anyway, that's my share. Thank you. It might have taken a little time, but I hope it's enlightening and there's something exciting to keep an eye on in the coming months, 2021. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Kim. I've mentioned this a couple times to some of the planetarium stuff, but it's been so nice to think about things off of the Earth, outside of a pandemic-ridden Earth right now. It should be like, oh, let's think about Mars and think about the creativity and these amazing scientists who are working to make these missions happen. So thank you so much again for sharing. I think we'll go ahead and get started with the regular agenda for our meeting, which Lindsay sent out. First, I'll ask, is the recording on? Are we officially on the record?
We are officially on the record.
Wonderful. So again, I'm Allie Thompson. I'm the board chair, and I'd like to call this Thursday, October 15th, 2020 board meeting of the Clark Planetarium Advisory Board to order. Welcome, and thank you all for joining. One thing we do need to mention at the beginning is that we are technically in violation of the state's Open Meetings Act. What that means generally for new board members is, since we are a county institution, all of our meetings need to be open to the public and available unless we deem them to be a closed meeting due to subject matter. But right now, since we are having it electronically, we don't have an anchor location such as the planetarium like we have, where the public could show up to. We have failed to provide written notice. This is something that we've just recently learned. So next month's board meeting, we will provide a written notice saying that the meeting will be held virtually in order to protect public health, and we will make sure that we are complying with the Open Meetings. So it doesn't matter that we have a quorum today. We won't do any official business, but we'll still have our meeting as normal and make sure we are in compliance with that going forward. Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay. Then I guess we'll just go ahead and go through the agenda. First, has anyone received any comments regarding Clark Planetarium? Okay, hearing none, we will move along. Our next agenda item was to approve the meeting minutes for September. While we cannot do that, I would just note that the only thing I saw was that we had Michelle Loveday's name spelled wrong. We just missed the E at the end of Michelle. So maybe we can correct that and send those out ahead of next month's meeting and officially approve those. I also failed to mention, did we have any guests that I have not introduced on the line?
We have one call-in number, and I am not sure who our call-in person is.
Guessing it's Joe.
Oh, that's me, Lindsay. I had to use my phone as a call-in, and then it didn't take the proper ID code, so that's why.
double points for attending two ways now. Okay, well, moving on to the next item of business is just our current board business. And the main thing I want to do is just express a welcome again to our six new board members. Last time we were able to get short introductions from everybody except for Julia Kamenetsky. Julia, would you mind just taking a quick minute and introduce yourself to the board and give us a quick background about who you are?
Yeah, sure. So, hello, everyone. I'm Julia Kamenetsky. I'm a professor of physics at Westminster College, and I'm an astrophysicist by training. So that is obviously part of my professional interest in Clark Planetarium. I'm also a mom of two young kids, so I, you know, also have an interest as a community member and a user of the planetarium to support it and keep it going strong. I don't know if there's anything else you'd like me to share, but I'm happy to do so, and I'm excited to work with y'all.
Thanks so much, Julia. We are excited to have you and our other five new board members on with us, and we'll just continue to, you know, and answer any questions that you have as you go. Feel free to reach out to me or Jordan as vice chair or anybody else on the board who's been around for a while. We're happy to answer any questions you guys might have. The only other item of business I have is just to make sure you guys mark your calendars for October 30th, which is the gala. I know we're going to hear more about that from Tim and Audra, who will be presenting on that. So it's going to be at 7 p.m. It's a virtual event. It is free to attend. If you want to upgrade your experience, you're able to purchase boxes for yourself or for your family to be able to open up and enjoy during the live auction and virtual portion of the event. So it's going to be great. Also, I just want to say thank you to all of you who have donated towards Duke's Photo. For just to state again, what as a board, we typically donate an item to the auction to help bring in money for the planetarium. And Duke in the past has donated a photo of his. He's an amazing astrophotographer. And we as a board will generally pay to get it printed or framed and cover that cost so it can be donated to the auction. So if you have not donated and you would still like to, I sent out an email and I'll send out a reminder. I've received a number of donations, so thank you to those of you who have already contributed. But I'll just send out a reminder if you would like to contribute to that. With that, I don't have any other business from a leadership perspective, and so I think we'll turn it on to Lindsay and her team for their strategic planning and official gala updates.
Okay, thank you, Allison. And I found out Jim Carner chatted me privately that he has one of our staff members in his class, Earth and Planets, and I told him, oh, my God, that's so cool, but I texted that to the entire group. So, oh, my gosh, that's so cool. What a small world. We have our so fun that you meet our staff at the U, and that's awesome. So I'm going to share my screen again. And
did we lose you, Lindsay?
Yeah, it looks like she's completely frozen at the moment.
Lindsay, do you still have audio? It appears we lost her altogether. She'll probably be trying to log back out and back in. We'll have to see. Give her a moment. I do have the presentation loaded, so if we need to go, we can pick up where we left off here in just a moment. But I'll give her a moment to see if we can get through the technology.
Sounds good.
I was going to do a gala update at the end if we just want to jump into that while we wait.
Yeah, okay. I can clue that up here and just give me a half a second. I'm zipping through the slides, so.
I don't think there are any, so that's what.
Yeah, there's one.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming that's assuming it's current. So we'll go with that. We're assuming it's current. So let me get the thing shared here.
And while you guys are pulling that up, I guess we can give a shout out to a few of our board members who have contributed items for the auction. Notably, Essen has contributed the catamaran trip, which if you haven't bought your ticket yet, I know Reese is always a big player in the auctions. He wants that trip bad. So buy your tickets. And I know that Ulrich has also donated a photo collage of pictures he's taken of the moon using a telescope, and those are always gorgeous and fetch a high price. So definitely scope out the website and check out the auction items. And if I missed anybody, please speak up if anybody else has contributed something to the auction from the board that I am not aware of.
Well, everyone who's donated for Duke's picture, thank you so much as well. I know yes. You're a person, but thank you.
Okay, so my question, I am sharing, but can you all see what I'm sharing or not? Okay. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Tim, if you want to talk about that for a minute.
Sure. And then as soon as Lindsay comes back, she can interrupt me, right?
Absolutely.
We're 2 weeks away, which is just wild. It feels like, I don't know, it's coming quick. It feels like it's, in both good and bad ways, we are constantly shifting because we want to make it better, but then it's sort of like, we're changing again. but we feel really good about what we've got planned, for 2 weeks from now. We're doing, we feel pretty good about procurement. We've got a lot of stuff coming in last minute. We're really excited about a lot of new partners, outdoor industry people that are donating to us, and hopefully we can grow some of those going forward, those partnerships. So the way the night will look, we'll open up, we've been watching a lot of different, virtual galas and just trying to learn from them. And we realized that, if there's a technical glitch, if you don't build that into your time, you're going to be in trouble. That can really eat into what you have planned. And so, we're going to start actually a little bit before 7 o'clock. We'll, probably start 6:45 or maybe even a little bit sooner with just some live music, and then some slides and just sort of, you know, getting people ready, getting people in the space and there to sort of, be ready to participate. Once that starts, once we get to 7 o'clock, we will start the official section of the virtual gala, which will kick off with some remarks from Mayor Jenny Wilson. She's going to pre-record some stuff for us, which we're really excited about. And then we'll go live to Lindsay and the rest of us. Lindsay will welcome everyone. Is Lindsay back?
No. I don't, well, maybe.
She trying? She's efforting. So we'll go, Lindsay will give us an introduction, sort of start the night off. I should take a step back and say that the silent auction is going to open early. I think we're actually going to open it on the 28th. We'll send, all sorts of, notices once that happens. You should start seeing in the next 2 weeks a lot more social posts and sort of advertising for, the silent auction. You can still go to that website, clarkplanetarium.org/gala to look at, the auction items that are available right now. Obviously you can't bid on anything, but you can register to bid. So we'll open on the 28th, try to get as many people to bid on things as we can. After Lindsay has her remarks, we'll close the silent auction somewhere around, 7:10, 7:15, somewhere in there. And then we'll move into a live auction. The live auction will be, myself, which I'm very nervous about because as you've seen in these, meetings at times, I can bumble over my words. so I'm real excited about that one. We'll do the live auction. It'll be very fun, very entertaining. And then we'll announce the winner of the opportunity drawing. So the sort of like, we'll have a really condensed version of the fundraising portion, that happens traditionally over, the whole night. And then at the end of the, opportunity drawing, we'll, have a, it's a pre-recorded video that talks about a stargazing party. So we're editing that right now. It's already been recorded. But one of our educators, Robert Bigelow, has created a film about how to host your own stargazing party. We had originally thought about putting this in the middle of the gala, but we decided we want to just get all of that fundraising stuff out of the way. And then if people want to stay on and learn about a stargazing party and use their kits that they've purchased, and sort of watch that extra bit, they can do it at the end, and then we're not sort of forcing people to stay with us if they don't want to. So it'll end with Robert Bigelow's stargazing video, which sounds really fun. He's in a tux and he's outside and he's talking about the stars and stuff. It sounds like it's going to be really good. And then that'll be the end. So short, sweet, but we hope it's powerful. And really what's really important is obviously we want to raise funds for the planetarium, but we also want it to go smoothly and look good and feel like it was a success. And we feel really confident about that. So any questions?
I think maybe we should just clarify that the event is free to join. And to bid on silent auction items, you don't even have to attend the event, right? You can register ahead of time, get on the website when the bidding opens on Tuesday, and participate in the auction even without joining the event, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And actually, the event, it'll actually be on Facebook Live and YouTube. So, yeah, it's totally free to watch. And we'll be sending out emails reminding people, like, you know, we may even text people too. We haven't decided yet. But we're sending out emails saying like, jump on and watch this. So yeah.
And I just really wanted to emphasize that because in the past, you know, tickets have been $100 a person, in person, limited group. And because of COVID, this is really an opportunity for anybody to have a little fun exposure to Clark and to support the education mission of Clark. This is a great opportunity to do so. And I think as board members, we have a powerful invitation to say, hey, I'm on the board. Will you support me and Clark Planetarium? It's a great way to just get that invitation out there and say, you know, attend if you can, donate if you can, do both if you can. And so as board members, that's really one of the best ways we can support. And also, you know, if anyone has any contacts through their corporations or companies or just their network, I know Tim and Lindsay mentioned in the email that went out about the board meeting that you guys are trying to finalize auction items this week. So if anybody has any last minute auction items or corporate sponsors that could come through, that's another great way that we as a board can support. Anything I missed?
No, I think that's great. And you're exactly right. It's a tough year for everyone to get sponsorships, and that's true for us also. So if you know anything that's like thriving during COVID, send them my way.
I mean, the sponsorships are tax deductible, you know, so I know, but like you mentioned, I know COVID is a tough year, but it's an opportunity to at least connect and invite people to enjoy some fun. I'm excited about that video from Robert Bigelow. That should be great.
Allie, this is Ruth. One of the advantages I see of this is that we don't have the constraints of building and space and food and this, so we could really go big. Is there a digital invitation that we can forward to people?
I'll get Audra to make sure that you all have that. We sent it in our last newsletter, and we're going to send an individualized one to everyone in our email list. So 40,000 people are going to get an invite.
Wow.
Yeah. But I'll make sure that you all maybe we could put together an invitation that's directly from the board. Like, as a board member, please join me in this. Do you feel like that would be worthwhile, or?
I'm just thinking about, for those of us that have coworkers, you know, they're working from home or whatever, that they might have children at home, that this is something they wouldn't have access to apart from, you know, this virtual method we're doing this year.
Yeah, for sure. We get something out for those folks.
Well, I have even just the digital email invitation that was sent out is beautiful. And, you know, you could just forward that along with a personal message to say, I'm a board member, you know, please consider supporting me. So I think either of those methods could work. Great suggestion, Reese.
It looks like Lindsay's back.
I'm back. I made it back. I was just like talking, blah, 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 blah. And Joe's like, hey, we lost you. And I'm like, oh, all right. It's not just that like I'm putting everybody to sleep and I'm so boring.
Glad you made it back.
I'm not exactly sure when I dropped out. So I guess start all over.
You'll need to start over. Yep.
Okay. Duke, can you actually pull it up since you already have the presentation?
Yeah, I sure can. Just give me a second. It's here and loaded and ready to roll. So
computers. So.
Yep.
Haha, there we go. All right. September financials. You can see that obviously COVID continues to impact our revenue. Our total for September was just under $45,000. This $75,000 that you see here under building rentals was actually a marriage proposal in our Dome Theater. And, in case any of you are wondering, she said yes. And our rentals manager, he made a joke that he is 100% for every, proposal we posted, she says yes. Or he says yes. So great place to get engaged at the planetarium underneath the stars. But as you can see, we're about $1 million behind where we were in 2019. However, September, every month we're just creeping up a little bit every month in our revenue. So July, we saw us at 32% of our 2019 revenue. August was at 36%. And September was at 46% of our 2019 revenue. And our store continues to hold strong. And we just sold our first holiday gift membership this week. Yes. Pre-Halloween holidays here already. And we opened Asteroid Hunters this past weekend, and attendance, it was really on par for where we are at right now. So we're hanging in there. We're holding strong. Also of note that you'll see in the financials next month, we just received a check for $49,000 for exhibit sales to the Virginia Air and Space Museum. They were remodeling their museum, had all of these restricted funds still set aside, so they are taking the COVID opportunity to purchase from us and revamp their museum. The next slide shows, again, January to September cumulative. You can see that 718,709 for the year. Next slide is this is our leading indicators. This is, again, we've taken the revenue dollars and translated it into number of tickets, number of memberships sold, et cetera. This is really meant for the staff to sort of get a sense of what our sales goals might be every month, but it's been really intriguing to track this over time. You can see that the green shadow box was 2019 actuals. The red columns is where we budgeted for 2020, and that blue line is actually where we're at. But you can see that steady growth there from star show tickets. Obviously, we're still not running laser shows, so that's flat. Next, IMAX, little ramp up, kind of holding steady. Memberships, just little bits of growth every month. Next slide. Store revenue, we had an amazing month in July with that comet, but the store continues to really perform well for us. And concessions, of course, is depressed. We're limiting concessions to only IMAX theater ticket holders. We aren't allowing people to purchase concessions and wander around the building because that requires that you would take off your mask, and that is not safe. Next slide. And rentals, flat. It's, again, in this current climate, not safe for us to be doing rentals. And we just look forward to hopefully bringing them back sometime in the future. Any questions, comments about the financials?
I think for new board members, you may have noticed that on the red charts, the September budgeted revenue was quite significantly lower than the rest of the year. And that is just because September is generally just the slowest month with everyone getting back to school and everything kind of going back to normal. So that's why it was budgeted significantly smaller than the rest of the year. Which I thought was interesting, too, on the shows, on that first chart, we were actually pretty close to what the budget was pre-COVID. So I'm happy to see the progression of all the issues that we're dealing with and restrictions. So.
Thank you. You know, we are, like I said, doing well, holding steady. Definitely. We sell out. Our membership manager how he gets about saying thank you. So happy you're open. Yeah, we are getting a little background noise, so if you're not talking, will you be able to mute yourself?
Lindsay, what was the dollar amount from the museum in Virginia?
$49,000, Reese.
Well, well done. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I have a question or a comment, Lindsay. This is Jim Carner.
Hi, Jim. Go for it.
Hi. You know, I know in the past we used to get those little cards once in a while about what was kind of happening at the planetarium and maybe even a schedule just a reminder of what the movies or the IMAX films were. Is there any way that or is there, and maybe I'm just not signed up for like a membership email where we get a reminder email every couple weeks that says, hey, this is what the films are and this is, you know, what we're concentrating on. Is that going on and I'm missing it? Because I think it would help keep everybody, you know, especially the members, if they know the schedule, they can talk to other people and say, hey, we should go see this or because this film is playing and things like that.
Absolutely. And we need to double check that your email address is included in the newsletter list to make sure that you're getting those monthly newsletters and then the interim ones. And in fact, if y'all would just put in a chat whether you are receiving those or not, I will have Tim and the marketing team look into that after the meeting. Yes, like Andrea mentioned, she needs to get added to the newsletter. So we will go back through and make sure you are in there. Another thing that we've recently brought back that I think we could be sharing with our guests more is an actual calendar. We finally started printing those again because we have movies and things that we're doing virtually, and that was a really popular thing that we offered to the community, and we would also send that out virtually. So you're right, people can't show up if they don't know about it.
I think one thing to note, too, is the Orbiter monthly newsletter goes to, like, not my main inbox on a regular basis. It's like it will come to my regular inbox like once every couple of months, and then it just kind of goes to like the promotions folder of my email. So it might be worth doing a check as well and flagging that to go to your primary inbox. They call it the Orbiter, and it's sent out monthly. But I agree, Jim. I think it's a great idea to just have a specific email sent out, especially to members and sustaining members, highlighting, you know, oh, the show's changed, and this is the current schedule, and I appreciate that comment. Thanks.
All right. Are you ready to move on to strategic planning? Okay. So just a little bit of background. Strategic planning, we're picking up where we left off. So we had launched a strategic planning initiative in the summer of 2019. We spent a lovely day up at the Natural History Museum chatting with their staff about their strategic planning efforts, feeling, you know, getting inspired by the space. We initiated the market research project, which we presented last month at the board meeting. But in that time, longtime director Seth Jarvis retired in July of 2019. I was hired in November of 2019. Can you guys believe it's almost been a year? I don't know where this year went. And then, of course, we had COVID. We had an earthquake. We had a windstorm. You know, any other natural disasters that I've missed over the last 8 months? But we're ready to pick up the process again, and we're really looking forward to working with the board to help shape this process. Next slide. Wahaha, the master planning begins. Next slide, dude. That's great. So what do we really want to get out of strategic planning? You know, yes, we want a plan, but more importantly, we also want alignment so that the team and our stakeholders agree on what we do and why, and where we are going and why. To that end, we're implementing a series of engagement opportunities over the next 3 to 4 months, inviting our staff and our board to be a part of the process to help us inform the strategic planning. So in a recent staff survey, we asked the staff, what do you think the goals of the planetarium are, and are we doing a good job of meeting those goals? And it was interesting because everybody in some way touched on science as our goal, but it ranged from teaching science to making science entertaining to increasing science literacy to making better citizens. So it's really broad. Other people said inspire interest and curiosity in science. So, you know, this is really broad. And if one group of our team believes that our job is to teach science and another believes that our job is to make science fun and thus inspire interest, we're aiming just ever so slightly in different directions. So we want to unify what we're where we're going and why and how we're all getting there together. Some staff quotes from the survey. Somebody said, I essentially have no idea what other people are doing or aiming for. And conversely, I'm not sure people know what I'm working on. And another person said, we need a big, measurable, multi-year goal that all the staff can get behind and feel a part of the success. So that's why, as we look to the strategic planning process, not only for our staff, but also our board, we want to create an inspirational vision to guide us, and we also want to create that buy-in and unity so that we're all moving in the same direction with the same excitement for the same goal. Next slide. So we are really using that market research. We're grounding this process in the findings from the market research as the framework for planning. So what did we learn from the market research? We learned that we do a lot of things really well, and overall, Clark Planetarium is loved, but we also have some work to do. So some of the major themes that emerged from the findings fell into the areas of customer experience. You know, our community would like those interactions to be more welcoming and impactful. They want to interact with us and have us share the excitement of science and space. There are challenges to navigating the building. Another theme that emerged was programming, that we're missing audiences and that we should be delivering more programs outside of our walls. Visibility was a major theme, that we're, again, missing audiences with our marketing, and that our peers are at events and we aren't there. And finally, the fourth theme that emerged was diversity, equity, accessibility, and inclusion. CP needs to do more to reach and serve diverse communities. So we're using this framework to really move forward with the planning process. Next slide. Oh, I did a fun one on this. This is going to be fun for you, Duke, because I'm going to have you hit, like, yes, all right. So based on what we learned, we have developed strategic themes to guide the process moving forward. So as I mentioned, customer experience. And underneath that customer experience, we have those staff interactions and the building. Additionally, programs. We have internal programs, external programs. Visibility, that marketing piece, and the community engagement piece. And then the next theme that emerged, DEAI, we've decided that's a super theme, that really this should guide us as we move forward to creating experiences that are inclusive, accessible, and fun for all of these areas, right? When we think about exhibits, how can the exhibits experience be more accessible and inclusive? What other ways of knowing need to be incorporated? Who do we need to partner with to help us co-create this experience? A couple of months ago, John Barnes presented the Stellar Share, and his presentation explored how science is coming to terms with its exclusionary history. And there are many communities that have been marginalized by science, and I believe that it's vital that Clark Planetarium be a part of the larger field's reckoning with barriers, and so we can play a role in helping science really be for everyone. I mean, in fact, this is even the main topic of this year's Association of Science and Technologies conferences. This is where the field of planetaria, science centers, museums is headed. And then finally, we have one last area of the theme, the team. And I've highlighted this in red and really put it as an anchor, because this is really the key to making all of the rest of this work, right? So our team, we have some internal work that we need to do in order to really move forward with an exciting, fun, accessible, and inclusive experience. We can't properly reflect to the community what we don't believe internally. So these are the four pillars of programming and areas of Clark Planetarium that we are focusing on for strategic planning of the future. Next slide. Okay. So timeline and milestones. What does this look like? The process. So right now we're moving into a creative ideation process. You know, what are the potential goals and outcomes that Clark Planetarium could be implementing to meet that goal of being more of a welcoming, exciting, inclusive place? Whose voices need to be included in order for us to reach these goals? Who else do we need to have at the table? This is what we're asking our staff to think about. This is what we're asking you as board members and stakeholders in this organization to think about. We will be hosting web meetings with two peer organizations outside of our market. We're looking to schedule those in early November. And we want to know, how have these institutions worked to create experiences to better serve their communities? What has worked, and what would they do differently? So the next couple of months are really about idea generation, documenting, coming up with ideas underneath that framework that we have established. So as we move into, and I just want to like give an example of a potential goal, right, that could come out of this. So, for example, a potential goal could be to ensure that we don't just meet the letter of the ADA law, but truly embrace the spirit of the law. And we should examine the Dome Theater, right? And that would include implementing closed captioning. But who in the community should we consult and partner with to advise and test options, to point out the things that I, as a sighted person, may not know? Or conversely, this one is suggested by staff a lot, we should start hosting regular showings of our theater programs in Spanish. We need to partner with the Latinx community to explore options to implement this idea. We need to understand how to reach this market and work with our community to co-create programming that has meaning. So I feel like we need to lay the groundwork to be really successful to make this meaningful. So idea generation time. And then as we move into January 2021, we'll host some workshops, some facilitated workshops with staff and board. And this is where, after we have gathered all of these fantastic goal ideas from our stakeholders, we will be categorizing, coding them, and then we'll present those to staff, board, stakeholders, and we will be ranked, right? You get to rank. What do you really think the planetarium needs to focus on? With the highest priority. And then we will analyze those rankings to create an outline and a timeline to really figure out what does the arc of a strategic plan look like for us, and then start to engage staff, board, and community stakeholders to refine these goals. And we're looking to have the plan really finalized April or May, because we'll begin our 2022 budgeting session in June. So that is what the next 6 months look like for the strategic planning process. Okay, next slide. So So how can the board be involved? Document your ideas and share. We are going to create a means for board members to share these ideas, whether it's filling it in on an email and sending it to me, or Allison and I were discussing having y'all share some ideas with us. And then in November, we could facilitate a brainstorming session where we share some of the few that have come in, and then people start throwing out more and we document those. Connect your expertise and your contacts to these strategic ideas. Again, how can we achieve these goals and who else needs to be at the table? If you're available, we'd love to have you join the web meetings with our peer organizations, and we would love to have board members in those January workshops. Next slide. Questions, comments? Y'all as excited as me about strategic planning?
Very excited.
So I want to open it up to thoughts, comments. Allison, I know if you want to jump in and share as a board chair sort of your vision here.
Sure. I think you explained it really well. But I think what I'm most excited about is that this fills a gap that has been expressed to me, and I feel personally serving on the board, in that it's hard to know really where to jump in and help the planetarium. As an advisory board, we have a few events that we can really help with and drive, but a lot of times it's just like, well, I'm not sure where I can help. I'm not sure what I can implement. And this really just gives us a chance to be really involved in the process of generating ideas. What have you noticed at the planetarium when you've been there that we could improve on? What networks do you have, or what contacts do you have in your network that can, you know, drive us towards these different goals? So I'm just really excited about the process, because, and COVID actually, I think, gives us a leg up, because we can include all board members in all of these meetings virtually. So you guys can hear you guys can be involved in the discussions and hear the ideas. And it really will create buy-in with the board and the staff, and really help move us forward towards a strategic goal. And is that strategic goal and plan going to be, you know, make science fun and accessible for everyone? Or is it going to be, you know, making sure that Clark is known as, you know, the go-to science center in Salt Lake, or, you know, whatever that end goal will be? Everyone is going to have a part of the planning process, and I think being involved in the discussions and brainstorming will also help you think about, like I said before, who's in your network, or what contacts do you have, or what skills can you bring to the table that can help move it forward. And I think this will allow everyone to kind of grab a piece where they can be involved, mm-hmm. and get their hands dirty, and really become grounded to the strategic plan. Does anyone have any questions? And I know this is new for a lot of you, but like Lindsay said, we're just kind of picking up the pieces where we kind of did some intensive strategic planning preparation and generation, and then with COVID and pivoting and leadership changes, it all just stopped. But I think, you know, grounding it in the market research findings that were presented from Mighty Penguin last month is also a great guide with all the feedback we got from everyone in the county and in the state, and how we can really move forward. So I think takeaways are just, you know, think about what ideas you want to bring forward. What changes do you want to see at the planetarium? What ideas do you have? And like Lindsay said, we will really work to facilitate a brainstorming session either at the next board meeting, or come up with some kind of digital way to do that. We have to be careful with the Open Meetings Act and making sure that it's accessible and that we're following the rules there. But really, just I think the ask right now is just start brainstorming and noting down what ideas you have and things you would like to see change. And then we'll continue to build on that and go through the process over the next 6 months of kind of narrowing down and ranking what the biggest priorities are in conjunction with the staff and creating a cohesive plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really reflect on that market research. I do think it was really impactful and helpful information to help us think about how do we move forward to make science fun and accessible for our entire community. And really, you know, science centers, museums, we are positioned in a completely different and amazing way from formal learning institutions. You're free from grades or judgment here, right? So we are a catalyst to really help people feel like science is fun, science is cool, science is me, and to be able to start to see yourself, see themselves in the world of STEM. And that's a really powerful role that we can play in the community. And it gets me excited, really excited. And there's no shortage of ideas. There's tons of ideas, which is why we really need to be able to rank them down and weed things out and focus in a targeted way on the future of the planetarium. Duke or Tim, is there anything that I missed that you'd like to share?
I think you've largely covered it. We're looking forward to the whole process and working with everybody to move it forward.
So, Ali and Lindsay, do you want us to send you guys like an email with ideas, or just write them and talk about it at the next meeting?
If you have... Go ahead. I was just going to say, if you have ideas and you want to send them, I think that could be a great starting point, because we could compile a list ahead of the board meeting and then use that as a jumping, like a starting point to have the conversation build from. So if you have ideas, you're welcome. I'm happy to compile them. So if you have ideas or a list, feel free to send them directly to me. I think the concern is, you know, we had talked about doing an idea board, but we, in order to ensure we aren't having, like, discussions that aren't accessible to the public, we have to just make sure we do it in a recorded forum or somewhere that the public can have access to, whereas an idea board could generate side discussions. And so, yeah, if you have any ideas, email them to me and I will compile and we can have a broader brainstorming discussion at the next board meeting.
And I've already got sort of a template set up of kind of broken down into those four areas that I'd be happy to send out to y'all so that you could really even categorize the things that you're thinking about to put them under that strategic framework of this thing that I'm thinking about really does fit here under what the team needs to be working on internally or what we need to impact for customer experience. So,
yes.
I'm happy to send that out, and it will help keep everything in a clean format.
Yeah. Lindsay, this is Reese, and I wanted to thank you for sharing that information on the strategic planning, and I think that was really compelling stuff, and I particularly like the idea of having a focus for the staff that's a shared goal that everyone has and knows about and that is tracked. You know, something that's measurable that way. I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think that's a real epiphany that we haven't seen that before. And just an idea to throw out there that I didn't see on the slides, I believe that every time that we've partnered with another organization, be it Girl Scouts or Utah Symphony or someone else, when we partnered and brought another organization in, we've always said, wow, that was a great idea. Look at all the people that got exposure here. Look at the synergies that were created by that. So I think that might be a real key for fulfilling a lot of these objectives is working with partners.
Absolutely. We cannot do this by ourselves. We don't know everything. Even though sometimes we like to believe we do, we don't. We are part of the community, and so we need to work with the community through partnering, through relationships, because this organization belongs to the community, and we need to reflect that in our work that we do.
And so, as board members, we help represent the community to planetarium staff. And so our feedback from our own experiences and from those in our networks and communities will be valuable as well.
All right. So action items, Michelle has asked if I will share out this presentation, and I would be happy to share that out afterward along with that template. And then we will keep everybody posted as we try to narrow down those dates for a virtual chit-chat with some of our peers outside the community. And we're kind of aiming for Arizona Science Center and maybe Portland Science Center. If we could talk to everybody, oh my goodness, we would. We would get out of control, long period of research. So we are trying to keep this focused and tight, and we're excited. And I think this can not only help the board feel really engaged with the work that we're doing, but to really help our staff reflect, unify, figure out communication, and how to build a stronger team internally as well.
I love it. Thanks so much for all of your work, Lindsay and Duke and Tim. I know you guys all worked together putting this presentation together and orchestrating the end line. And I think even we as a board have an opportunity to put together our, you know, work together in tandem to create a strategic plan for the board, what our own action items could be as a board to support the overall vision of where the strategic plan for the planetarium will go. So I'm excited. Thank you, Lindsay and Duke and Tim. Does anybody have any additional comments or questions that they want to raise about the strategic planning or anything else we've discussed today? Okay. Well, like we talked about, if you have any ideas for things you want to see, Lindsay can send out the template and you can feel free to email me ideas within those categories. And we can use that as a jumpstart for our conversation next month. And for now, we will meet next month on Thursday, October 19th. And for now, I will declare this meeting adjourned. Thank you all for your time and effort today.
Hi all.
To everybody for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.